Jesus gave us the communion for a very specific purpose, for our healing. And actually, He told us when we take communion, we're abiding in Him, and He's abiding in us. This is important. The Apostle Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. If we know that's that way, we know that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have blessings in our body, have that healing in our body, expect to live long. See, every time there's a type, there's an anti-type. Jesus told us to take this as often as you will. See, we can take it once a month, we can take it once a week, we can take it once a day. You could take it three times a day. You know, if you came home and from the doctor and he said you got Mongolian toe warts, and if you don't take this medicine at exactly 6 o'clock in the morning, noon, and 6 o'clock at night, and eat 2 bananas and 3 apples with it, you're going to die. I bet you, you would take that medicine at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and 6 o'clock at night, and you'd eat 3 bananas and 2 apples. Just exactly the way they said. But Jesus said to take this as often as you will. That means you can take it daily. This is God's medicine. The number one thing we have to do is release our faith in it and discern the body of Christ. So to discern the body of Christ, we need to look at this bread and identify the different things about this that are important. Number one, you'll notice that this bread, it's called matzah bread, by the way, is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is and was without sin, 100%. He never, ever made a single mistake. And if you look at this bread, it's been beaten and pounded flat. And Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten and bruised for our transgressions. He took a terrible beating. And this bread has stripes in it. We know that when he went to the whipping post to be scourged, he took stripes on his back. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Our healing was paid for before our sins were. And if you look at this bread, it's been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced. Not just when a Roman soldier put a spear in his side, but when he got a crown of thorns, his body was pierced. When he got nails in his hands, his body was pierced. When he got nails in his feet, his body was pierced. I've told you this before. See, this is one thing about this community. We do different events at different churches. And the next time you get a chance to go to the Catholic Church, go there, go to the wall, find the Stations of the Cross. Those are different places that Jesus shed his blood. Go there and identify those places and see where you got redemption in that area. Do it on purpose. You'll notice that this bread is also slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. That's grace. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. the blood of Jesus is the most pure substance that's ever been known to mankind. The blood of Jesus is completely 100% without sin. That's why the blood of Jesus is still alive, and it is still doing the work that God meant for it to do when He sacrificed His only Son to die for us. The blood of Jesus completely washed away our sins. And the blood of Jesus continually washes away our sins. The blood of Jesus protects us. And the blood of Jesus made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. All right. I want you to open up with me, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And we're going to get our base scripture, and we're going to continue on with our adventure in creative love giving. And I told you before that this is not something that I just heard or something that I read somewhere, but it's actually something that I lived and walked in, and it set me free. I will tell you this. Without any doubt, you can give your way out of poverty. You can give your way out of terrible financial positions. But you're going to have to get your mind right, and you're going to have to get your heart right. And understand this, that you're not giving to get, but you're giving because you got. Okay? There's a lot of confusion about this. I believe in the prosperity gospel. In the right context. It's got to be because of what Jesus did. 100%. Don't take anything out of context. Don't twist any scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich." If what you're hearing and what you're believing and what you're doing does not lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, stop. If it ever depends on your good works, if it depends on your ability, if it depends on your talent, if it depends on anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, stop. Go back to the cross and start there. Everything must lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, or it is not the gospel. I say this with a stern warning, because there's a lot of teaching out there that will point you to your own efforts, to your own abilities. We must rely 100% on the grace of God. Not mix any law in with the grace of God. Do not frustrate the grace of God by mixing the law and your good works in with it. Paul said that if anybody preaches any other gospel than what he delivered to you, let him be accursed. See, he's talking to preachers. I'm not interested in partaking in any of that cursed business. Apostle Paul knew a lot more about it than I do. And he said that the gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now let's get on with our adventure. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that sells it. You need to understand this. What you give, you gain. And what you keep, you lose. And there's a saying in AA that says you can only keep what you got by giving it away. We get taught from an early age to pinch pennies, to save, to hoard up, to do all these things according to the world system. I want you to know, God is not bound by the world system. God is not held back by the world system. In fact, the world system has little effect on God. It does, however, have an effect on you if you let it. See, there's a lot of people that feel trapped. They feel like there's limitations that are set on them. And what they need to understand is we live in a country. This is a unique country, the most unique one in the whole world. We have a constitution and that protects our civil liberties that are given to us by God. What we need to understand is that the only limitations on our life are the ones that we accept. See, God said you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Just because you're born into poverty doesn't mean that you have to stay in poverty. You have a Bible, and you have a constitution, and you have a free will. With those three things tied together, actually braided together, your unbreakable cord. But you'll have to read what the Bible says to find out what God says about you and your situation. Look at verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. There is that scattereth and yet increases. See, people are used to the supply and demand attitude in life, where if we give something away, we lost it. But the Bible says we scatter and it tends to increase. What is that? You're taking what God gave you by His grace and putting it back into this world, putting it into this world around you, all over the place, not just here. See, not just here. You need to understand this. This makes a lot of preachers mad when I say this. It makes a lot of churchy people mad when I say this. But you're giving it into the world around you. You're giving it into the body of Christ, certainly. But did you know that the goodness of God leads men to repentance? So when you give something to somebody that isn't born again and they see that God is giving something to them through you, it changes their hearts. When they see God do something, they say, wow, I want to be a part of that. I want more of that. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. What I'm going to teach you is there's a lot of places and a lot of opportunities to give. Not just in the church. You know, I knew a guy that belonged to a certain church, and he said that they would actually check his W-2s so they knew how much money he made, because they kept track of how much money he put into the church. And he said he had to have 10% in the church. It had to be there, or he didn't qualify. That's cultish. Don't ever hang around somebody that demands you to give all of your tithes and offerings into their church. You purpose it with God. God will tell you how much to give, when to give, and where to give. And in fact, with a little bit of fine-tuning, you'll learn how to give on the go. Whenever, wherever, He'll say, give here, give there. With a little practice. Now let's look at some scriptures here and get a grip on what they're talking about here. Go to verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This is Jesus talking here. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus said, give. Freely we receive, so freely we give. See, we receive from Him, so we have something to give, and then we give it. We're like a hose from heaven to earth. He wants it to flow into us so that it can flow out of us. If He can't get it to flow through you, it's probably not going to get to you. Here's the thing. People keep waiting for Him to hit them with the big boat before they let some out. He's already given you something. You may be making $100 a week. That's something. That's something. And it may seem like that $10 will cause you to not have enough if you give it away. I got news for you, because I've been in those shoes. That $100 ain't going to get you there anyway. But if you take that $10 that God gave you and put it back into His system, He can multiply it and return some more to you. And then you can take some increase of that and put it back in there and let him bless it so he can send some more to you. See, you really can give your way out of poverty. You can give your way out of some very bad situations. Believe me, I've done it. Now go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand that I'm the furthest thing from a pulpiteer that you'll ever see. I do not believe in preachers hustling people for money. What I do believe in is teaching people different ways to plug into the blessing so that they can receive from God and receive some more from God. And there's a lot of different ways to do this. There's a lot of different ways to be a blessing. And I've practiced in multitudes of them and received big blessings because of it. Now look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Go back up there to verse 6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that is taught in all good things. Now let's talk about blessing the people that feed you the word of God. See, there's an idea that if you give into the church basket, that's going to bless the pastor. That's not, pastors get a regular paycheck. I knew that. So I would take certain blessings and I would go bless my pastor. I'd bypass the church, and I'd go bless my pastor, because I wanted him to have enough gas for his airplane. That made a lot of people mad. My pastor flew around in an airplane. Look at all the poor people he could have fed. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. That man gets in an airplane, and he flies up into the middle of nowhere, Montana, where nobody else wants to go, and he does Bible studies for 10 or 15 people. That's what he does with that airplane. And then he'll fly over to the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, and do Bible studies for 10 or 15 people where nobody else wants to go. That's what he does with that airplane. I want him to have enough gas in that airplane to get there and back. And then I would bless his wife. You know, pastors, some people focus in on the guy that's doing the preaching all the time. You know, there's another half of the equation. You know, there's somebody that got to get that idiot ready. Make sure he gets up in time to go to church. Somebody got to feed him. And then, when somebody brings a whole bunch of little kids with them, the other half goes into the back room to take care of the kids. You know, there's two parts to a pastor. I knew that. So I would make sure that I'd bless my pastor's wife, too. I'd go buy her flowers. Or just give her cash. Or give her a horse. I'm telling you, there's different ways to plug into the blessing. Amen? I would appreciate my pastors. I would give them things that cost me money, cost me out of my supply. I'd make it hurt sometimes. I'd have an idea to bless them, and then I would go beyond that to make it a sacrifice, to make it even more powerful. But there's a lot of different ways. Now let's go on here. I want you to understand verse 7. It says, be not mocked. God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I'm going to tell you something. Don't expect to get something that you're not given. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. How many of you will go out into the garden and plant an okra seed and water it and water it and water it and water it and be making plans on what you're going to do with the peas when that okra seed comes up? Nobody would expect to get peas out of an okra seed, now would you? But people, a lot of times, do things and expect different results. God doesn't operate that way. You're going to get what you sow. The world calls it karma. We call it what God said. Go down here to verse 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now here's the thing. I don't know how many times I've seen people go give some money into the basket and they say, well, nothing happened. I heard that preacher say, give something, and I gave, and nothing happened. It says, be not weary, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. What do you mean? Just keep giving. There's lots of places to give. We're going to see this. This is going to take us a while to get through this series, but there's a lot of different places to give. You can give all over the place. You can give all the time. Just keep scattering that seed. Keep throwing it out there. There's a lot of ways to give. We're going to find out. What I'm talking about in these scriptures are unfailing laws that were taught by Jesus, Solomon, and David. Look at verse 25 of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 25. These are unfailing laws. Jesus taught it. David taught it. Solomon taught it. Paul taught it. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God blesses the bountiful soul, and he repays what is cheerfully given. We understand now. We must first receive, right? We've all received, okay? And if you got 10 bucks in your pocket, you got it from somewhere. So you got something to give. Don't worry about hitting a home run. Don't worry about making a big offering. Don't worry about that. Focus on this, that the whatever you got that you can give, and you put it into the kingdom, God is going to put value on that. And He'll cause it to increase. We don't have to worry about the increase. All we have to do is get it into His hands. Now I'm going to show you some examples here in the Bible. I'm not going to just tell you things and not show you good examples in the Bible. I want you to go to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God live, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now there's a lot there. I want you to understand first and foremost, when God tells you something, it's not always going to make sense. He just told this prophet they were in a drought, a famine. He said, I want you to go over here to this widow woman. She's going to take care of it. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? No. That doesn't make sense at all. But he was obedient. And he went to this widow woman and said, I need you to make me a cake and some water. Can you imagine this widow woman? Said, Preacher, are you crazy? Didn't you just hear me say that I was going to make a cake for me and my son? And then we was going to die? What's wrong with you? You prosperity preachers are all alike. But yet she was obedient. And she did, she heard a word from that preacher. The preacher heard a word from God. And they both ended up being blessed because they went ahead and followed through with what God was leading them to do. And look what happened. Jesus said, "Give, and it would be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom." There's a thing about creative love giving. There's opportunities all over the place. My wife and I used to go to church every Saturday night. Ooh, we were breaking all the codes of the earth. Had church on Saturday night, not Sunday morning. But there was a little widow woman who had escaped from a terribly abusive marriage. Her daughter was mentally retarded. And this widow woman, she would show up, she'd have her ankles wrapped with ace bandages because they were huge. So my wife and I, we made it a point that every time we go to Walmart to get groceries, we would, or wherever we went and got groceries, they had these gift cards. And we could get $50 or $100. $100 was a lot. Well, we'd buy a gift card for 50 or whatever, however much money we could. And when we go to church, we give that to a widow woman. And it just bless her. She was just so happy. And she'd visit with us. And she'd make it a point to pray for us. It blessed her to no end. We moved down here. And she called me one day. And she said, I sold my house, moving into an assisted living place. But I got this money. And she knew we were building a parsonage here. She said, I want to bless you, Dad. So she sent us like almost $5,000. I knew how much money that was to her. So I accepted it and I said, I received that and I blessed that back to you many times over. Pray over it. But don't you dare say, no, I can't take that. No. Somebody makes a sacrifice to give something to you. That's their opportunity to sow seed in God's kingdom. Don't take away their chance at a blessing. Receive it and pray over it and pray over them. And be thankful for it. Amen? Don't let pride get in the way of your blessing, and don't let pride get in the way of somebody else's blessing. Now, I could have said, you know, I know you're poor and you got some health issues and all this stuff, and I just can't take that. That would be stupid. That would be prideful and against everything that God says. You receive it with gladness. Pray it back to them. I'll tell you something else about that little woman. We received that and we put it into the parsonage over here. She called me a few months later. She said, you know something? I had a stroke. I said, really? She said, yeah. So I knew I was having a stroke and I couldn't move my mouth. All I could say was covenant. That's all she could say. With covenant. She knew she had a covenant with God. So she kept saying covenant over and over and over and over and over again, and she got okay. She went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her an exam. And the doctor said, "Oh my God, you've had a major stroke." And she said, "I know." But he said, "You're not supposed to be okay." She said, "Yeah, I am. I got a covenant with God." He said, "You're not even supposed to be alive." She said, "I'm alive in Christ." I don't know if it was tied to her offering that she gave. Possible. I don't know. Maybe that was part of God's great plan for her. We don't know. In case you didn't know, we don't know as much as God knows. We don't really know everything that the future holds for us. We know it's a good future because God says it is. So a lot of people are worried about tomorrow. They're worried about stashing away enough for tomorrow. They're worried about how they're going to get through tomorrow. Jesus said, "Don't be like the bird. Don't be like that." He said, "Be like the birds. They don't sow nor reap, but God, He takes care of them anyway. He told us how to give. He told us how to receive." He said, "Worry, it's not going to add one cubit to your stature." He wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what He wants for us. To live a life of love, joy, and peace. You can't change what you can't change. Only Jesus can. Your life is hid in Him. Abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Enjoy life. Worrying about tomorrow is not going to fix it. Wayne Myers used to say, "Give like there's no tomorrow." And that man gave everything he had. And he started over 7,500 churches around the world. He'd go into community and preach the gospel and tell people if they would build the walls for their church, he would build the roof. And then he would give the church an opportunity to be a part of that. He would find out how much the roof was going to cost, and he'd send flyers out to different churches, say, "You want to be a part of this? Be a part of it." My pastor made it a point to build 4 roofs a month. "Give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." Don't worry about how God gets it to you. The only thing you're supposed to focus on is on how God gets it through you. You ask Him where He wants you to give, when He wants you to give, how much He wants you to give, and then just do that. Let Him take care of the rest. We better stop there, but next Sunday, we'll talk about a Shunammite woman. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us in spite of ourselves. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus does for us right now as our high priest, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time, so that right things can happen to us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for always watching out for us. You protect us, even when we don't know we need protection. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. Father, we thank you for the many opportunities to be a blessing. You have blessed us to be a blessing. Father, we ask you that you give us a sensitivity of our spirit to show us where and when we can give. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks.